Welcome, everybody. My name is Steve Crocker. Along with my co-chair, Russ Mundy, we chair a something we call the DNSSEC Deployment Initiative that operates partly as a ICANN-sponsored activity under SSAC and partly as a sponsored work under Department of Homeland Security out of the U.S. government, and more broadly embraces a worldwide working group that has both practitioners and consumers of DNSSEC around the world. We have made it a practice, as I suspect most of the people here know, of having an extended session, a workshop, although that's probably not the most accurate term, set of presentations on DNSSEC and its state of development, opportunity to interact with amongst ourselves and also with the people who are making it happen. This session today is in the lingo that is now being developed for the format of ICANN meetings is a double session. That is, it'll run from now until 10:30. We'll take a break and then we'll continue from 11 to 12:30. We may not need quite all that time, but we do have a quite solid agenda, which I'll go over with you in just a second. Quite a lot of material. It's become a very exciting time for DNSSEC. A lot of different activities. We're now at the stage, I would say, where more than one thing is happening at a time. So instead of a single announcement or a single point of a focus, multiple announcements, different vendor community from the TLD community. We, of course, have the extended focus on whether the route will be signed, when it will be signed, how it will be signed, and so forth. But that's just one small portion of the total DNSSEC space. Our agenda today is on two slides here. First half and second half. First half will cover what we'll do before the break. The DNSSEC Industry Coalition was formed in August last year and has been enormously active. Lance Wallach from Public Interest Registry will be here, is sitting next to me to talk about it. And related but quite distinct is the status of implementing DNSSEC in the .org domain. We will then have a short update on the IANA's interim trust anchor repository from Kim Davies and a separate discussion from Joe Abley on other DNSSEC activities within ICANN. It says here I'm going to do another introduction in the second half, probably just to give people time to get back in the room. William Dee from the European Commission will talk about a meeting and presumably a process that's part of within the European Commission. There was a meeting on the 5th of February I was privileged to be at. And then I'll give some very brief updates on the experience that Comcast has with its validating resolver. I don't really want to speak so much on their behalf, but they're not here, and I think it's important to get that out. And on broadband router compatibility. And that's all part of part one. Oh, second half, part one. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Jim did a great job putting this together. I did a less than great job of preparing before I read this to you. So that's all after the break. And then continuing, Michael Young talking on some of the needs for simplifying DNSSEC, and Lutz Anarhaka on more essentially along same lines about making DNSSEC more accessible via logo program. And I will close with a brief update on work that we did in the confines of the Security Stability Advisory Committee, taking a look at where DNSSEC is, and we've got a report on that subject, which I will summarize. So with that, let me, I think that's all in here, right? So with that, let me rotate back to Lance and turn the floor over to him, and it's now yours.
Okay, there we go. Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Steve, for having us back here to discuss the DNSSEC Coalition. I went through a quick review of the coalition at the last ICANN meeting in Cairo. I'm going to review some of the same notes and then follow that with an update of some things that have happened since then. So first of all, the coalition was formed by us in August of last year. We had a goal to accelerate the adoption of DNSSEC and provide a uniform rollout among registries and really to streamline how that gets rolled out to the registrars. That was our primary focus. This is an informal industry coalition. It's a group of many of you in the room here today that are working together, sharing the above goal and developing documentation, tools, and so forth to streamline the rollout. One thing that we made clear right from the beginning, this is not just another group where we continue to have just discussions. We want to actually be doing a lot of work here and have regular output from this coalition. Another important principle we have is to, for all of the members to check their political agendas at the door so we can all focus on DNSSEC and the adoption. And as the coalition grew in terms of members, you can imagine in any given meeting you'd be sitting across the table from some of your competitors. So it's very important that we stuck to getting the work done with DNSSEC and setting aside any differences. So the goal of the group in our regular meetings is to talk less and do more. The founding members of the coalition were us.org, the Public Interest Registry, Affilius, Nominet.se, Newstar, and Shinkuro. Our current participants, it's a long list here, of a number of domain name registries, service providers, as well as educational experts, all pitching in quite a bit of effort. So we've separated, with so many members, we decided to separate the coalition into a number of working groups that could work independently and focus on different types of output. So we formed a registry implementation working group. Their first output was to produce the registrar implementation manual. So as a registrar, you might imagine if you were to implement DNSSEC and you'd be working with several registries in doing so, you would hope to see a similar flavor of DNSSEC coming from each of the registries. So the goal of jointly producing a registrar implementation manual is that the registries could share all or most of the content among each other, so then when the registrar does receive this manual, it looks the same coming across from all of the registries. We also formed an education working group. They've created an initial set of DNSSEC FAQs, and also looking at other introductory documents to educate the market on DNSSEC. And also very important was a document that we could all agree to, which provided a high-level explanation of DNSSEC, how it works throughout the chain of trust. There's lots of documentation available on this, lengthy documentation. Sometimes it's harder to agree on the abbreviated and short description of the roles and responsibilities of these various members throughout the chain of trust. So that's one output we're looking forward to completing. Also formed an outreach working group. This group works with various trade groups, online payment, banking, and so forth, those who would potentially be early adopters of DNSSEC. So they're reaching out to those organizations, providing some educational material, and having some ongoing discussions with them. And then finally, we formed a tools and applications working group to look at the tools required to implement DNSSEC across the chain of trust. So some things that we've accomplished since ICANN Cairo meeting when I last provided an update is we launched a website. It's a public-facing website to give you an update on the coalition. That can be found at dnsseccoalition.org. Also, we have many of the coalition members now conducting press interviews about their involvement in the rollout of DNSSEC. The coalition members are also participating in our .org blog in what we call our DNSSEC FUDBuster series. So really to clarify the fear, uncertainty, and doubt regarding DNSSEC, which may come across as true challenges, technical challenges, we have coalition members participating in the blogging to bring clarity to these issues. Also, members of the coalition are attending global events to speak about the coalition activities and objectives. So we have excellent representation within the coalition, within the meetings, and also at external events, which I'm very pleased. Okay, so we're looking for additional help here with the coalition. With registrars, we'd like registrars to participate in the coalition to be part of the registrar review team. If the registrars are going to be receiving materials, tools, documentation to implement DNSSEC, we want registrar involvement early, prior to any launch, to review the material that's being developed. When they do receive it, when it is launched, it's our intent that it'll be excellent material. And so again, it's very important that we have the registrars involved early. Registries, any registries that are not currently in the coalition, we openly invite you to join the coalition and share in a lot of the great effort that's going on right now. I think you'd benefit greatly from meeting with your peers in the industry and discussing all of the issues of rolling out DNSSEC and the challenges to streamlining the rollout and the adoption as well. Service providers that are involved with DNSSEC and DNS are also very welcome. We're looking for additional participation there. If you'd like to join and like more information, again, look to the DNSSEC Coalition website. Also, the chair of the DNSSEC Industry Coalition is Lauren Price. Her contact information is on this slide. It's lprice@pir.org. And that's my update, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I carefully positioned this talk first in here because my estimation, this is an extremely important and welcome effort in the community. This is a clear measure that things have moved from a few funders like government pushing on it with a particular strategy in mind to industry initiative. And from what I've seen, and I've been privileged to watch this, is that it has it's gathering momentum and is well organized and is completely neutral with respect to it. It's not pushing one agenda versus another or one vendor or one TLD, so it's an open inviting forum. So with that, let me take a pause here and open this up for any questions and so forth. I should pull your leg a little bit. You have a booth outside for, no booth outside for people to sign up. But I really think that this is a quite good effort. And although I'm listed as one of the founding members and supporters. I really have to give my thanks to you, to the nominate folks, .se folks, and so forth, for taking the initiative on all this. Any questions, any discussion? People want to probe into this at all? Complete silence here. All right, I'll take the hint. Thank you. Let's move on to the next.
Thanks, Steve. Okay, I have a quick update on our activity at .org with rolling out DNSSEC. A little bit of information since I provided this input at ICANN Cairo. As far as operational readiness, we've opened a beta test phase for interested registrars. This is not a formal test phase yet, and we have welcomed any registrar who would be interested in getting a preview of some of the work to come as we get more heavily involved in the formal beta test period. We've drafted and submitted a DNSSEC manual to the coalition. I spoke earlier of the registrar implementation guide. That was something that we worked on with our partner Afilias to develop, and we're pleased to offer that up to the coalition as part of the shared effort. Majority of the initial technology-related work has been completed at this point. The zone signing and beta tests of domain names is still on track for early this year. At ICANN Cairo, we indicated the first half of 2009. That's still on track. So you'll be hearing from us at some point during the first half of the year on our zone signing. You'll find us also at several events and panels as we reach out to the market and within the industry here to discuss our rollout. We'll be at GovSec 2009, continuing to participate in the Black Hat security conferences, Center Barcelona, APWG meeting as well. Also, I had mentioned this in the coalition update. We're very assertive with our blog posting in terms of getting information out to the general public on a regular basis and addressing any of the fear, uncertainty, or doubt directly, involving industry experts to participate in the blog posting. Again, very pleased with the level of participation we've had on the blog posting with regard to DNSSEC. We've also been working closely with Dan Kaminsky on DNSSEC. I know he has a number of activities he's now doing focused on DNSSEC, even more so than he has in the last 6 months. So very pleased to continue to work with these industry experts and, again, having them participate in our go-to-market information. So if any of you would like to participate in the blog posting, come in as a guest blogger, just give me a shout. I'd be happy to discuss that with you. Also, if you're a registrar and want to participate in the early beta test period, would love to have you. And watch for announcements within the first half of 2009 about our formal beta test period beginning.
Thanks very much. First half of this year.
Yeah, well, we're not picking a specific date right now. As you know, with rolling out DNSSEC, we want to be careful. We want to do it at the appropriate time, and we'll still remain with the first half of 2009 as our target time frame.
And would you like to say just a bit more about what would be involved there versus what subsequent steps are? So if I say, so I have a .org domain, when can I look forward to, if I sign it, getting it into the, where in your process would that fit for one of the registrants to be able to put a signed domain up into .org?
Sure. Our beta test period will run for anywhere from 6 months to a year. So I would say for any general .org domains, it would be in 2010. We will be doing beta testing on test domains in 2009. But again, for the general public, it would be 2010 earliest.
Thank you. Any questions?
Are you looking for beta customers?
Sure, would love to talk to you about that. If you have a test domain for the beta test period, we'd be interested in talking to you. Where are you from?
Dave Piscatella, ICANN. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I think we're already working with you guys.
Any other questions? Good. Oops. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And we will sort of watch this space for future developments.
Thanks very much, Steve. I appreciate the opportunity to provide the overview.
Great. Hi.
Hi.
Seat here. Maybe this is the right place. If pleased to have Kim Davies from the IANA group at ICANN. Talking on the IANA Interim Trust Anchor Repository.
Thanks very much, Steve. I'd love to give you a really long, detailed, in-depth presentation on the Interim Trust Anchor Repository. However, I've only been given 10 minutes, and in fact, it's really dead simple, so I think this will be really quite a short presentation. For those that aren't aware, the Interim Trust Anchor Repository is a mechanism to publish the keying material from top-level domains that sign their zones. If the root zone was signed, we'd have a very simple scenario. End users that wish to deploy DNSSEC would simply install the trust anchors for the root. However, as we know, we don't have that situation right now. But we do have top-level domains that are signing their zones, and the Interim Trust Anchor Repository is designed to be a way of distributing those trust anchors in a fairly simple way. But to be clear, we consider this to be a stopgap measure to be decommissioned once the root zone is signed. It's not an ideal scenario, but it's kind of one of the best things we can do right now to spur on DNSSEC. I'll just give you a little illustration of how the Trust Anchor Repository works. Here's a classical hierarchical view of the domain name system. Ideally, we would have a situation where the root zone is signed, and I've just highlighted here in green, hypothetically, some signed root zones. Some signed zones. If a computer wishes to validate a domain in the DNS hierarchy, what it would do is it would follow a chain of certificates up to the root, and it would just need a root zone trust anchor in order to validate. That's the ideal scenario, but that's not what we have today. Right now, we have a root zone that's not signed. So in order to do that validation, we need to have a list of trust anchors. And they don't need to all be at the top level. They can obviously be further down the tree, right now there's no root zone signed, so the theoretical maximum apex of any chain is at a top level domain. So in order to do this validation, the Interim Trust Anchor Repository is a way of populating trust anchors into validating resolvers. The benefits of the Trust Anchor repository. Firstly, one of the biggest champions of us deploying this service has been the RIPE community within Europe. They actually devised a set of recommendations on how it should be deployed. We followed those recommendations, and we believe we've implemented everything they recommended. Another benefit is it's very simple to use, both for top-level domain operators and for end users. As a top-level domain operator, to submit your trust anchors, you go to an online web form. It's straightforward submission. One of the benefits of us deploying this is we have the trust relationships with the top-level domain registries, so we can very easily ensure that it comes from the right parties. But at the same time, as this isn't tied to the root zone and it's a separate service, we don't have a lot of the legacy requirements associated with root zone changes. So there's a fairly straightforward processing, relatively quick, very straightforward. For end users, we've provided instructions on how to install Trust Anchors. It works with different DNS software, it works with different protocols. It's not a proprietary service. For some DNS software, they don't natively accept DS records as trust anchors, so we've provided an additional tool that will convert DS records into DNS key records. It's almost fully more automated. There's just one step of manual review before publishing trust anchors, but otherwise, every step of the process is automated, including confirming whether a trust anchor should be listed, checking DNS keys are in the DNS, expiration, and so forth. And most importantly, the benefit is it should help DNSSEC deployment. For those that wish to collect top-level domain trust anchors, this is a much easier way to do it than to contact all the top-level domain registries directly, to monitor their mailing lists and so forth. It aggregates those publication mechanisms into one place. This is what it looks like. In fact, I'm going to flip across to my web browser to give you a direct look. Fortunately, the resolution on the projector is very low, so I've got to scroll in multiple directions. But you can see that already there's quite a number of top-level domains listed in the Trust Anchor repository, including all the test IDNs, but also a number of ccTLDs as well. And I understand the last remaining top-level domains that haven't listed the trust anchors will be in there soon. Like I said, it's really quite a straightforward service. I think it's relatively easy to use, and if you can think of a way to make it even easier, we're certainly all ears. Just one other minor thing. It's the first site we've deployed that uses this so-called green bar. This extended validation SSL certificate, so I think it just adds one extra little bit of assurance that we're trustworthy. I can't tell you how hard it was to get a green bar for IANA, because IANA isn't actually a legal entity. It says up there that it's ICANN, and it took us about 3 or 4 months to get that, but that's there as well. So it's at itar.iana.org, and please use it. And please provide feedback. Very much.
Super. Don't go away. I know I have a bunch of questions, but let's ask if anybody else wants to probe or ask any questions about this at this time. All right. Well, then I'll plunge right in. Oh, I'm sorry. Is there a question down there that I missed? Oh, you were pointing at somebody?
Do you know what the current state of the Greek top-level domain is?
Of the which?
The Greek one. They published in DNSSEC key, but do not sign zone.
I was not aware that the Greek one is not being signed. Is Richard Lamb here? Probably comment. He, the test top-level domains are being signed by my colleague Richard, who maintains our DNSSEC signing infrastructure.
Hello? Okay. I'd be happy to talk to you afterwards about it. I've been looking at .gr and as well as some of the other domains. I wasn't aware that they actually signed. So.
Oh, sorry, my mistake. I thought you were referring to the Greek test IDN, not .gr. If .gr is signing, I'll certainly like to have a conversation with them and encourage them to use the service.
This is not a question, rather a statement. I was going to, since we are putting our KSKs in the ITAR, I was going to congratulate you on your simple and very straightforward service, which we like it a lot.
Very much.
Thank you, Anne-Marie. Well, that actually relates to one of the questions I have. In your experience, Kim, is there any hesitation that any of the TLDs have had about putting their keys in? And the other side of the same question, is it your policy to only do it if they ask, or if you see a top-level domain, are you likely to gather that up independently?
One thing it's very clear is we're not going to proactively add trust anchors that we happen to notice. It needs to be the operators of these top-level domains need to contact us to expressly list their trust anchors. For all the top-level domains we're aware of that are signed, we contacted them all several months ago, giving them early access to the service. We encouraged them to list their trust anchors. As I said earlier, I think most have, and we encourage the remainder to. I don't think there's really been any hesitation to using the service. Certainly we had a lot of questions in particular. I think most that listed their keys were curious about the revocation procedure. Obviously, they're not in a position to revoke a key right now, but they wanted to know, in the event that that needed to happen, how that would work and how that would be facilitated. But generally, it's just been questions about how the system works, and they've been very quickly answered, and I haven't heard of any real hesitation about using the service.
Cool. Jim says there's a question in the chat room.
Yes, a question from Yvonne Munoz, legal advisor for ALA PSI. She says that, I think DNSSEC is not only relevant for registrars, registries, and service providers, but the InfoSec community has an interest in it, and I don't see a mechanism to get involved with them. Is there any proposal for that?
Let me take that, because I think that's more a broader question than just for the ITAR, the top level. I'm not sure I entirely understand what's desired, but we definitely want as much involvement as possible. So let me turn this into an invitation to have an offline conversation, and then we'll take it from there. Other questions? Okay. Excuse me. Could you identify yourselves for the transcribers?
My name is Yao Jiankang from Xining, China. My question is, if I am the DAO test TLD manager, I submit the DAO test Zoom key to ITA. ITA will use ITA's private key to produce some DS record for DAO test and published in the website. Then someone want to use DNSSEC, maybe get the ITA's public key to verify the DS key is correct.
Thank you. I think I get the basics of that question. In the publication process, after you've got that, what is the assurance mechanism around that process that you're using, since you obviously can't be using a root key to sign it?
Right now, we publish the DS keys in a number of formats. We PGP sign those formats. The PGP signature is available. For reasons I'll briefly explain, the PGP key hasn't been widely signed. And that's purely because we just originally anticipated this would be a temporary key that once the service is properly launched, we would be rolling it into a new key. However, I think that our kind of soft launch sort of overtook our expectations, and within about 2 days, it went from no one knowing about it to everyone using it. So the PGP key that we're using now has now been signed by several people. I've sent it into PGP repositories, and it's now published. We're looking at improving some of our internal security mechanisms, so we have fully offline signing of that, just to add an extra layer of security. But generally speaking, PGP signing is the way you can be sure that the copy of the ITAR that you have is genuine and comes from us.
Well, that's pretty interesting. I had another question, which I will ask, but this is generating questions as we go here. One of the questions that's been very active in the technical community discussion about trust anchors is update process and how long, what are the lifetimes of these keys and so forth. Within the regular DNSSEC protocol, there's lifetimes on the signatures and a regular process for updating and so forth. But with trust anchor repositories of any kind, and particularly with an offline one as opposed to something like DLV, there's a natural question as to how often does somebody have to go back and retrieve the keys. Is there a mechanism in your process? Have you got a regular procedure for noting how long those keys are valid? This is separate from a revocation question. This is kind of a natural expiration and replacement cycle.
Right. It's actually a very interesting question, and it's something that was posed to me recently by ISC, who are trying to set up a syncing mechanism between their DLV registry and ITAR. We don't provide any guidance on how frequently you should update your list of trust anchors from our service. Obviously, we would hope people would update it on a reasonable schedule that's not too often, lest they bring down our infrastructure. But I don't know. I think this is something that would be useful to hear from the community. I think one thing, my personal concern, is if we did provide machine-readable views of expiry dates, and that was somehow integrated into the logic of how often you upgrade the trust anchor repository, that you exactly run into this revocation issue, that if you look at the expiry dates and you say, hey, all the keys that I have don't expire until the end of 2009, and the logic in your software somehow waits until December to get the next version, what happens if any of those are revoked in the interim? So I think that an implementer would want to, on a routine basis, update the trust anchor list. On what schedule, I don't exactly know, and don't really have any guidance for.
Are you thinking about making up a policy, or or having one suggested to you by individuals, or having a coordinated policy suggested by a community consortium of some sort?
I think any of those is a good idea. I mean, if the community wanted us to come up with a straw man proposal to tear apart, then we could certainly do that. And even better, if the community wished to devise recommendations on how to use this, that would be even better. That said, I would like to reemphasize that we definitely see this as an interim solution, and our main focus within ICANN as ICANN staff is to get the root signed. So whilst the enthusiasm about developing more and more stuff around the ITAR is great to see, I'm perhaps overly optimistic, but quietly hopeful that the DNSSEC signed route will be in our lifetimes and we can shut this thing down.
That's a great hope. But we're in the practical period here where you've got this. In your description of the PGP signing process, I began to get an image that this has got a bit more complexity than the straightforward description of you bring in these keys, you put them up on a website, and they're available might suggest. Can you paint a picture of the difference in the complexity of running even this very small trust anchor repository compared to what it would be if the root were signed and you were taking in keys from top-level domains that way and publishing them in a ordinary DNSSEC process?
I guess it's a little hard to give an answer because I think